He gave that to me regarding this for us for our program. So it sits in my drawer, and that's the one I just seem to grab. But yeah.
I like this.
So do we know that that's a spoiler? I can tell you if you want. No, I gotta go see. I'll find out when I get home.
Okay, I've just called to order the meeting of the Utility Financial Oversight Committee. Kathy, could you take the roll, please?
Chairperson Engelmann.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Bennett.
Here.
Member Bowling.
Here.
Member Scott.
Here.
Member Spell.
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you. First, we're going to go with public comment. Is there any public comment? Mr. West.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I think just to start off the night, wanted to provide a little clarification as it relates to some of the conversations that have taken place recently. So for the record, I am Aaron West, CEO of the Builders Alliance. For clarification, most of you are familiar with BON as a home builder organization. In fact, BON has evolved into the Builders Alliance, which is a statewide organization of 700 construction-related companies serving residential, commercial, and all affiliated sectors. I truly appreciate this body taking up the discussion on tonight's agenda once more, and would like to thank you for your diligent efforts in formulating the recommendations presented to the Board of Supervisors. I do apologize for being late to the party, as you were nearly complete with this process by the time I came on board with the Builders Alliance. On behalf of my Board of Directors, I want to put on the record that in no way was our testimony to the Board of Supervisors intended to delay or resist implementation of connection fees. We simply wanted to better understand the current system capacities, the anticipated capital improvements, the methodologies for developing the fees, and evaluate their potential impacts on many levels. I would like to thank city staff for meeting with us a couple weeks ago, reviewing all the materials and answering all of our questions. I'll keep this short and provide issue-specific testimony on the items to follow, but please let me say, I would like to make it clear that the Builders Alliance intends to work with all parties in a collaborative environment for positive solutions. Thank you.
Could I ask you a question, please?
Sure.
At the Board of Supervisors meeting, you passed out a letter. I didn't get a copy of it, and I didn't see it. Could you give me just briefly what was in the letter?
Sure. Literally, it was that we weren't trying to derail the process. We weren't trying to, obstruct implementation of fees. We were just asking for a little more time to consider the impacts as it related to economic development.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. So, committee, this is one reason why we're here tonight, to look at things over again. We're not going to hear the same presentation that we heard last time. This will be different. We're only doing commercial tonight, not residential. The residential settled, and the board didn't vote on it because they're waiting till we finish with this before they vote on it all at the same time. So before I proceed, do you have any questions of me? Okay. All right. First, we have adoption of the agenda. I will tell you that I plan on, at Mr. Bankowski's request, I'm going to go from 6 to 8 to 7. And essentially, we're going to, all three sort of merge into each other. I'm not going to worry about the formality. There's a number of suggested motions here. We don't have to follow these motions. We can do whatever motion occurs to us or that we feel that we're in the mood to do. So we're not held to what's presented in here. So do I hear a motion to adopt the agenda as presented? Mr. Scott makes the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Bowling makes the second. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Did you all get a chance to look at the minutes?
Yes.
Any corrections or additions? Then could I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
First second. From Mr. Bowling and a second from Bruce Scott. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
It's unanimous. Now we'll go to Darren. Do you want to handle this, or is David handling this? David.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. David Bruchetta, Carson City Public Works. So this first item was a request from the Board of Supervisors to have a discussion. On May 7th, we went to the Board of Supervisors to bring the recommendations forth from the last Utility Oversight Committee. And they asked us to do two things before they made any decisions. And one is bring back a discussion here about commercial charges. And that's what we're here tonight for. And the second component was to meet with the Builders Alliance and have a discussion with them. So we did about 2 weeks ago. We met with them. We brought in our rate consultants, did a presentation for them, and we met with them. Tonight's presentation, we'll have FCS Group give it. It'll be a short presentation, about 10 minutes, new information. Part of that information came out of the discussion that we had with the Board of Supervisors. There was a good debate discussion when we had that meeting. And there were some people from the public, both from Builders Association and like Dorothy Palmer had made a presentation or a discussion. And she brought some new information regarding water rights and some of the past history and what Carson did in the attempts to get some water rights. And these water rights all relate to connection charges together. So there's some new information in your presentation tonight, and we presented this information to the Builders Association. So
if I might interrupt you.
Yes.
Does everybody here know who Dorothy Timian Palmer is, used to be the water manager for Carson City? Okay.
So with that being said, I'd like to turn it over to Krista Shirley and Karen Johnson for the presentation.
Krista Shirley, FCS Group, for the record. So as David mentioned, we'll look through the water and sewer schedule of charges and look at new material focused on commercial connection charge comparisons. This was the water proposed schedule that we presented at the previous meeting, and we're focused on the customer's 1.5 meters or larger charge, which is based on the maximum day gallons per minute at $6,219. When we look at the comparisons, it's based on the assumptions that you see on the screen, the Carson City current charge based on water equivalent residential customers, that maximum day gallons per minute. We're assuming for these purposes that maximum day use is equal to average day use for purposes of the comparison, and any of the participants that are shown are going to be their current schedule of adopted charges, not any proposed charges coming up. The Carson City proposed bill will show as if the implementation was 7/1/15, and as you know, we've presented some phase-in strategies previously. The water rights that we've looked at are assuming groundwater rights, and we've made the different assumptions for Lyon County, Tumwa, and Douglas County, as you see on the screen. So the first of the three comparisons we've looked at is a user using about 10,000 gallons per day. And that's going to be a medium-sized commercial or industrial customer. You'll see of the comparisons, the bottom shaded part in the teal or the dark color is going to be the connection charge portion, and then the outline portion above is the water rights charge. The total bill for those is shown at the top. The second comparison is a user of about 50,000 gallons per day. And this is going to be larger than all but a couple of Carson City's customers. You can see the same proportions for each of the customers in the comparison and for Carson City's existing and proposed charges.
Could I ask a question about this chart?
Sure.
In these counties, are people required to bring water rights with them?
Yes. It's our understanding that there are a few selected properties that are sold with water rights already attached, but that water rights have had to be purchased at some point.
And we don't require that in Carson City, correct?
That is my understanding, yes. The final comparison we look at is 100,000 gallons per day, and that's going to be about the size of the prison, which is Carson City's largest user currently. Just to give you an idea of the scale. So this is a very large customer. As you can see, everything's increasing again in the same proportion, and this gives you an idea of the charges. Moving along to sewer, the sewer proposed schedule, as was shown, we're looking at the bottom line, that all others per sewer equivalent residential customer going to $4,493, and that is equal to 200 gallons per day. So the assumptions that underlie the comparisons we're going to show compare the existing charge, which was based on 250 gallons per day, the proposed charge at 200 gallons per day, and again, the participants are the currently adopted charges, and Carson City is as if the full charge was implemented. So those customer comparisons are again shown for the medium commercial industrial user. This is the 50,000 gallons per day, which is a large industrial commercial user. And then finally, the 100,000 gallons per day, again, the largest that is currently in place in Carson City. And that concludes the presentation. Are there any other questions?
Could you just briefly outline the basis of the proposed five-year CIP versus the 10-year CIP for the two columns on the Carson City charges?
That was a discussion that we had with the Builders Association, and the only reason we included that information was because one of the things that we did is we reviewed the methodology and how charges are calculated. It's something that we reviewed with the Utility Oversight Committee, but we wanted to make sure the Builders Association understood that. So we were using that as a comparison tool, and it was just part of the discussion that we had with them.
Are there any other questions?
Mike? Yes. On page 38, are we going to discuss this later, the phase-in, alternative one and alternative two?
It is, yes, it's an agenda.
Okay, we'll discuss that later. Okay.
And I just want to point out, this presentation was really the first 17 slides, and we included all the other information because this whole thing has kind of just been built after a series of meetings, so we want to just put that in as comprehensive material.
Okay. I'll have a question then on that later.
Thank you, Mr. Spell. Was going to ask a question about that too. Okay, let's skip over to item 8 then.
Thank you. Actually, that's a nice lead-in. This is really just a point of clarification. There was just some confusion at staff level, and when we did the presentation to you, there was lots of information presented, and everything was presented under one umbrella. And so what you'll see here are just some things that we just need clarification on, and this is one of them. And so basically what we're asking for here is just a discussion at your last committee. We got the recommendation that it was going to be a five-year phase-in. So the rates would start July of 2016, and then would be phased in over a five-year period. And we just want to make sure that that is correct.
I like that you have a three-year, what was that, page 38? Was three-year phase-in? I believe, Brad Bunkowski, do you want me to address you as supervisor or mister or just?
For the record, Brad Bunkowski, and I am not here as a supervisor tonight. I am here as the owner of a commercial real estate firm only.
Okay. I'll throw this question at you. Anybody from the audience or staff can answer it. I have a concern about Carson City is landlocked. Mm-hmm. And I have a concern as to how much longer will we be able to develop land? How much land do we have left in Carson City?
Commercial?
Yes, please.
Approximately 600 acres of commercial industrial land that is currently vacant and available. And in the last 10 years, there has been 0 acres developed.
And all right, that's commercial industrial. What about residential?
I don't have those figures. I think it's in the presentation, though. You have the number of available lots.
We were looking to gather that information, but I currently don't have it.
It was in our last board agenda, and I don't want to speak off the top of my hand, but there was several thousand lots left.
Well, yeah, my question was on this page 38, and if you follow this three-year phase in, I was just having problems figuring out how you came up with the incremental change each year. Like if you take because this would impact both residential and commercial. If we take the 5/8 inch, you basically have a 219% increase. From year one to year two, you got a 46% increase. And then year three, a 63% increase. What was the methodology in that?
So for all of the methodologies for the phase-ins, five-year, three-year, what we did is we took where you started for the 5/8 inch meter, that would be the $454, ending up at $3,440, subtracted that, right. And then the difference, the dollar difference, was divided by the number of years for the phase-in. Right. So each of those increments should be the same dollar amount going from where you are currently to the full phase-in amount.
I could follow that on the sewer. But when you came to the water, that didn't follow that process.
Yeah. So using that 5/8 inch as the example, 3,440 minus 454 is going to be 2,986. And then divided by 3 years is going to be $995.33. So adding that to the 454 is going to give you 1,449.
I agree with that.
And then adding
again.
That should give you
2,444.
You are correct.
Your microphone, Member Spell, could you please turn it on?
Yeah.
Thanks.
And this was the only one I found this problem. And, I was trying to figure out the equity between this and the sewer rate. I mean, those would be pretty, customers are going to say, whoa, here, what's going on? Cool. From going from a 46% increase 1 year, then 63% the next year. And then with the 1 inch, you're going first year, you're like 598% from the rate, then you go 57, 72. Now the half inch, the 1.5, yeah, that one came out okay. You had a third, a third, a third.
Chairman Spell, one of the things that we did do, and this was part of our initial discussion with you, and I know there was a lot of information. In this case, I believe we made a math mistake on this one. But what we also presented in some earlier slides were different phase-in periods over 3 years. So instead of an even percentage, there was different options that we'd presented, and the options were, I don't remember the exact amount, 10% the first year, 30% the second year, 60% the third year. And that was all actually part of the utility financial oversight initial meeting that we had. I know there was a lot of information in there. So there were different, I guess what I'm saying is there were different options from using this difference, where you subtract the difference by year, and then doing different phase-in based on percentage by year.
Okay, well, I had a problem with this because it wasn't consistent with other portions of the report.
Thank you for pointing that out.
He's an accountant. Mr. Bonkowski, let's go to item 8 now.
Okay.
I'm sorry, item 7, excuse me. And let me clarify for the board that Mr. Bonkowski had an idea of using hookup fees as an economic development measure. In other words, offering a large industrial firm a cut on the hookup fees. Well, I'll let you explain it, Mr. Bonkowski.
Yes, I did have an idea, but I think that at this point, based on the first two items, I believe I'd like to table this item.
Okay, so you want to pull the whole concept?
I'd like to pull it off the agenda at this point.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, committee. So I guess what we're looking at is either is possibly sending back to the Board of Supervisors a motion that says we concur with our previous, excuse me, I'm sorry. Aaron, did you want to say something?
I'm sorry. Were you going to have some public comment on those first three?
Yes, no, I'd be happy to have public comment.
And I kind of had it broken out by item, but I'll skip around and hopefully it's not too redundant. So based on based on the conversations we had with staff and understanding the methodology for coming to the rates, the connection fee rates that were established, or the connection fees. Let's keep fees and rates separate. We feel comfortable with the rationale for calculating the fees going forward, but we still have strong concerns about the impacts, the short-term impacts of the implementation of the fees in the short term. And so we were surprised to see the three-year and the immediate implementation proposal in tonight's package. Just based on the five-year conversation that we had at the last meeting and what we pushed forward. So I guess if I could just maybe provide a little context to our continued support for the original recommendation from the UFOC for a five-year phase-in of all the connection fees beginning July 1, 2016. So as it relates, I don't want to muddy the water, but this portion of this piece of the agenda seems to apply to all the connection fees, not just the commercials. So it's just a short blurb. But so as it relates to residential construction fees, a 2014 national study showed that for every $1,000 increase in construction-related fees, 200,000 families were eliminated as possible purchasers of homes because of the current qualification criteria. Unfortunately, the financial underwriting in place for current and near-term new home projects does not allow for the builder to absorb any of this increased cost. It will be passed directly to the buyer.
Excuse me, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I will tell you right now that nothing concerning residential is on our agenda and we cannot consider it. So,
okay.
So okay. Nothing, the three-year thing could not apply to residential. Okay. In anything that we do.
So the five-year and residential
is
already gone.
Okay,
perfect.
I
will take that out completely. I apologize for my confusion. So from a commercial perspective, as stated previously, we feel that the phase-in allows us to maintain our competitive advantage in the economic development arena and not shock those companies that have been looking to Carson. The current reality is that there is excess capacity in our system, so there is no proverbial gun to our head. The connection fee calculation provides for buying that excess capacity that's in the system. So even at full implementation, this isn't a pay-as-you-go. We're talking about creating a revenue stream that can be bonded against for improvements. And that really goes into then, the reason, based on the conversations that we were having, whether or not we needed an economic development incentive. And our position on it is that, the concern from the builders is as it relates to the economic development, it was specific to those companies that have been in the economic development pipeline for relocation or expansion. Although, we're now looking at, is it a a program versus the implementation. We feel that phasing in the connection charges allows for those companies that are currently in the pipeline to complete their transaction without drastically impacting their expectations, and provide an incentive for those that are in the pipeline to expedite their transactions. So that would be our position.
Is there any other public comment?
Rob McFadden, Carson City resident. I just had a couple quick points I wanted to make. As far as if you own a commercial or industrial property in Lyon County, do you have to go out and acquire water rights? I have about 20 properties in Lyon County, and all of them I purchased, and they came with water rights except for one that I know of. So I don't agree with that, and I don't know the history on each property. I haven't put any time into looking into it, but almost every property I've ever bought in Lyon County came with water rights. And I know that's not the case on all, but I believe it's the case on obviously a lot. The other thing that I wanted to point out was that Dorothy brought the information forward that she did, and I just wanted to point out that she represented herself as a concerned citizen when she's really the president of the major water company. It's the largest water right owner in Lyon County. So I think that she was very disingenuous when she said, you know, she was a concerned citizen.
Okay, let's not, excuse me, let's not go there. Yes, she's a president of Vidler Water Company.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Joe Ward, for the record, from the DA's office. The chair has asked for a public comment on all items 6, 7, and 8, correct? Thank you.
For the record, I'm Rob Hooper. I'm the executive director for the Northern Nevada Development Authority. And I just wanted to say something about economic development in Carson City. It's true that our lands are diminished, but we still have a lot of land for commercial development. Our pipeline that's been discussed, I wanted to clarify a little bit that the economic development pipeline with companies stretches anywhere from 6 months to 6 years of evaluation. In the last half of a year to 7 months, we've added 150 companies that are qualified companies seriously considering a move to the region. In order for Carson City to stay competitive, our rates have to be competitive, not only with our surrounding counties, but what they can acquire in other states surrounding us. Surety is something that they're very interested in, knowing what the rules are and that those rules are going to be followed is really important to them. For the companies that have been looking at us for a couple years, that large of an increase all at one time would blow them out of the water. Phasing it in over 5 years, I think, would give those companies the time to adapt their models and make sense out of the whole thing. But for the amount of time and money that's already been put into getting these companies to want to be here, it's important that we don't blow them away. Secondly, as far as the developable lands is one issue. The other is expansions. As our older buildings become vacant and then become on the market again, for companies to move into it, it takes a pretty large refit because some of those buildings have been used. They've outlived their usefulness quite a bit. So that cost of expansion, that cost of releasing that building goes up substantially. When you look at these types of fees, those types of plans also take a long time to form. So I would certainly agree with what the builders are saying here. It's one of those items that you have to phase in, or else it really does hurt our economic development programs here. So thank you very much.
You don't think the commerce tax is going to hurt it?
I don't think that was on the agenda, Madam Chair.
Is there any other public comment?
Yeah, Bill Miles of Miles Construction. One thing, first comment on this chart is you don't see the cost of the larger meter sizes because they go up significantly. So most commercial industrial applications exceed a 1-inch meter. So when we're talking about a development such as the Cine Center in downtown, good possibility a Hyatt hotel needs a 6-inch meter. And if there's been a lot of planning here in Carson City for development coming forward, where if we all of a sudden implement an increase in our commercial rates that are significant, the performas that they base that on are not going to work anymore. So I have a real concern that a lot of planned development, even such as a new apartment complex that in theory is commercial, if all of a sudden our rates increase significantly, I mean, we are out of places for people to live. I know we're not supposed to go too far on the residential side, but, you know, I'll argue a bit that apartments are commercial. Well, we all of a sudden see those increases. People that have complexes planned, their performance are going to be seriously impacted. I've been involved with the builders for a lot of years, and I will go back and say that when Dorothy Timmy and Palmer was the manager here in Carson City, the builders supported securing water rights at a lesser amount than they would be on the market in the future. So builders, developers really supported the concept that Carson City, it makes a lot of sense to buy these water rights. Why they're cheaper, because we know they're going to do nothing but go up. Well, in our downturn in our economy here, the supervisors saw it fit to reduce the rates significantly to try to bring development here. Quite frankly, it didn't work real well, unfortunately. We've had a lot of opportunities, but we've had a lot of near misses. But on the flip side of that, there has been development that has increased property values here in Carson City that have brought us significant tax base because of the reduced fees. So I just want to say, I think the five-year implementation that was discussed in ratcheting these back up from an overall development side, I believe they make the most sense. You know, Carson City will benefit from this planned development as long as people can meet their performas and we don't see these fees increased overnight.
Bill, when Brad had his idea, excuse me, something in here. When Brad had his idea about using it for an economic development measure, I thought that was a great idea because, and I will tell you, I've been involved in economic development. I worked for Dick Bryan when he was governor, and with Andrew Gross, we put together the state's first economic development plan. But to me, it was only going to be an economic development incentive if we were at the top, and then you cut it in half as an incentive, okay? That's the kind of thing that works in economic development. That was the only reason why I was talking about going to the top. Brad has now withdrawn that idea, so the idea of, and we were going to segregate industrial commercial from apartments and so forth, and probably do the phase. I mean, there were all sorts of ideas floating around connected with that idea of Brad's. But now he's withdrawn that, so now we're no longer looking at those concepts.
Yeah, so, you know, we talk economic development and the ever-changing picture. So I'm personally involved as a developer. We purchased acreage around the Carson City Airport with through-the-fence access. Well, the last legislature changed the tax structure for aviation-related businesses that now we're able to market that property to a whole different worldwide demographic literally, where Nevada and Carson City Airport and all the development they've done through the years out there is going to be a benefit. So, again, you know, there's a lot of opportunities out there, you know, post-Tesla, Northern Nevada, with everything going on and everybody looking, is a fantastic thing, but it's just not happening overnight. So these reduced water and sewer rates being an economic development tool, I believe, are critical to us continuing to move forward and getting, you know, solid, viable businesses and jobs into our community.
Thank you. So I have a question in general. Once we get all built out, do our homes quadruple in value?
Well, we take the fifth, another residential question.
Madam Chair, on that, I do have a point of clarification I think I'd like to ask staff. I'm looking at the agenda, and I do not see where we're specifically limiting the discussion on implementation to commercial. And I believe when we talk about implementation, we're talking about all meter sizes, and we don't differentiate between residential and commercial meter sizes. It just so happens residential meter sizes are smaller. Is that fair to say?
Well, I think the intent and what we were looking for was the first item, which was item number six, was specific to commercial. The remainder of the items were points of clarification that we wanted to have discussion on. From the staff perspective, they did include residential, but if we want to restrict it to just commercial, but we just wanted to get clarification on it, because when we made those initial discussions and presentations, it was very big and broad, and not everything was fully discussed. So there was lots of discussions that happened afterwards, and these are just point of clarifications.
So I was very clear when we did the agenda that it was to be commercial only, and that residential was not supposed to be on the agenda at all.
Madam Chair, as I look, I believe it's item eight, but it's the alternative phase-in periods, the three and the five. Well, if we go to a three-year phase-in, then we would have to cover everything, correct? It'd be residential on up, because 5/8 inch is residential, correct?
That's correct.
So we do change the phase-in from 5 to 3,
that's
or go
correct.
To immediate, that impacts everybody.
Yes, that's correct.
Well, that was never the intent of what was to be on the agenda.
Madam Chair, for instance, if you'll remember the item number 10, which was the indexing of the rates, that came up at the end of the Board of Supervisors discussion, and the idea was we wouldn't want to just talk about that for one side of.
That came up after I used a comment from Bruce, who had said, we don't want to forget that when we get to the 5 years, we still need to look at these things. And that was what I had said to the board. I don't think the board intended for us necessarily to look at immediately instituting some sort of inflationary rate hike at the end of 5 years for hookup fees or rates.
Well, my point is that this is a recommendation from staff that we do this, and we need this committee to give a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors whether they agree or disagree.
Well, I think when we get to that item, we can discuss that.
You're right, but that item would encompass residential and commercial, and that I believe that's what we're discussing right now.
Right, and again, I did not intend, I'm sure I said to everyone, Dave in particular, that I did not want anything residential on this agenda, that it was to be commercial only.
The problem we were trying to clear up is that there was some confusion when we went to the Board of Supervisors on these items as they apply to both residential and commercial, and so we're trying to. That's why we separated them here, so that we could get a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors, because the last time around we didn't have it specifically from this committee, and so we're trying to clear that up.
Okay. Well, Let's talk about that when we get to that item. And right now we're on items 6 and no 7 and 8. Is there any other public comment?
Madam Chairwoman, Mark Turner for the record. And I'll make my comments brief here. I just want to kind of corral the arguments that have been made for the five-year implementation phase. There are decisions that have been made by people who want to develop property in Carson City that are based on the five-year assumption. And I can assure you that if that does change, some of those projects will not move forward. So what this board needs to decide is whether the dollar gain of the fees that would be generated is worth the loss of the economic activity that will take place. And we're not joking when we say that. It's when you change those numbers, if you've been to a bank to get commercial financing recently, you understand it's a very, very different ball game than it was 10 years ago. And making these changes right now will impact that. Maybe that's what you want to do, and maybe that's what staff wants to see too. Maybe, you know, development does not create a positive thing. So please keep that in mind as you make your decision on how you're going to move forward here, that a deviation from the five-year implementation phase will result in some project going away. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment? Okay, bring it back to the committee. Committee, we are free to have discussion. We can do a motion that essentially says to the board, go with our original recommendation of the five-year phase-in. We can change it if you're so inclined. We're just talking about commercial construction. Silence may be golden sometimes, but not now.
Dave, if you would, reading the agenda material, I was a little surprised to see the three-year implementation, too. Can you, and again, I apologize, Madam Chair, I'm going back to the way the agenda reads. It talks about our recommendation for the five-year implementation. Why the change? Can you give us a little background?
There was discussion that happened since the Utility Oversight Committee, and then it was discussion that we had with the Board of Supervisors. And I think there was confusion about the five-year rate recommendation. And what was coming back to us is the committee was making a five-year recommendation, and we're just looking for clarification. From staff's perspective, we asked for a three-year. Our recommendation was a three-year implementation. And all we're asking on this point is just a point of clarification. If the recommendation is to stick with this for a five-year recommendation, then that's what we'll do.
Any other questions or comments?
Just, I guess, a couple of thoughts. In my mind, the five-year implementation was something that we did, or that, from my perspective, I supported as a way to work within the recommendations that the building community, who were the bulk of the inputs we had at our last meeting, had agreed was a reasonable solution to the process. In my mind, it's probably a little bit long because it's really a six-year plan. If you start tomorrow, the first change doesn't occur for a year. I understand the concern, and I understand the need for predictability and planning from a financing standpoint. I also see that when you account for the cost of water, and you may have to buy water with the land in Lyon County or Douglas County, or you may have to go out and buy the water to go with your land, I'm looking at current rates that are 10% of other places. And so in my mind, the implementation of the fee is really important. And I brought that up at several of these meetings. I'm wondering, you know, we're here 3 months after our last meeting or so, basically hearing the same things, a little different staff report information and some some additional detail. But frankly, I don't know what the other members of the committee, what their thoughts are, but I guess I'm wondering, on rehearing, should we consider a shorter time frame, which is one of the things the staff has recommended, or do we want to stay with the recommendation that we had? Now, if I understand the nature of where we are with residential, we have a recommendation that would go to the Board of Supervisors from our previous meeting that potentially would be acted upon with the recommendations from this meeting on commercial. And we may have to kind of work through some of those items. But I'd be interested in other members' thoughts. But frankly, coming back here for further discussion, I guess I'm not sure. In my mind, I don't think our connection fees have been a particular incentive to anybody. The thing that concerns me is we have low interest rates now, which may not last, and I think those will have a whole lot more to do with development than the connection fees, especially if they're predictable in their escalation. So I guess in my mind it boils down to how rapidly do we want to implement an increase. And I guess I've heard what's been said. I'm interested in the committee's thoughts. But in my mind, the 5 years, literally plus 1 year, is pretty generous. And at the same time, I think predictability is critical. So I think it's essential that we give the board something to act on. In rehearing this, I guess I'm reconsidering whether 5 years plus a year is the right term.
Thank you, Bruce. Mr. Spell?
I'm kind of torn between, I understand your point, we need to get the capital funds rebuilt. We've been going with basically nothing for years from hookups, but we did it. Set a five-year period based on discussion with the community, the building community. So I don't think I want to depart from the 5-6 years, whatever it is. I do understand, though, that you need cash flow. And I do see that you, when you went with the 3-year phase in, you wanted to move it up to January 1. Is that correct? January 1, 16?
That was part of our initial recommendation when we came to this board.
Right. Now, I could probably see moving it up 6 months. I don't know how the building community, but I know you want to get that cash flow growing. But we did have an agreement with the building community for a 5-year phase in. We've been 5-year phase in on our water rates, sewer rates.
Thank you. Mr. Bowling?
Thank you, Madam Chair. A basic question that I have is all the charges, all the connection charges, those are primarily flow-based, is that correct, without consideration of land use, residential, commercial, does it make a distinction?
Residential is based on meter size, and once you get 1.5 inch and above, it's based on flow.
So it's not spelled out specifically as residential. It's inherent that the smaller sizes are residential related.
That's correct.
But that's the only distinction.
That's right.
To build on what Bruce and Mike had mentioned, I agree. I think there's a need to get as much money in for the system as possible. But in fairness, we did talk about the length of time of transitioning and going from where we are now to the full connection charge as proposed by staff and their consultant. I think to depart from that at this point in the game is I think we're moving the goalpost a little bit, which is not the right thing to do. Unless there's new information, I haven't seen any new information yet.
Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know I echo the rest of the thoughts of the board. I guess I would like one point of clarification, at least in my mind, and I maybe should go back and read the minutes more clearly. I was thinking the first rise would occur in July of 16. So the first 20% rise would be July of 16. If you follow that through, we would be 100% implemented in July of 2020, which is 5 years from now, right? Am I missing something?
This would be the implementation schedule here.
Okay, so I see the six.
Right. Exactly. Well, then I think what I'm hearing more or less is consensus that we stick with the five-year phase-in. Is anybody interested in a different start date than July? We mentioned January, but...
Since Nick's not here, I don't know what your fiscal staff would think of this, moving it into January. Would that cause a problem, even though that's where you're suggesting on the three? Would that be any fiscal problem for you?
No, I don't believe so, no.
Well, let me ask the developers. Somebody like to come up and address that issue?
I guess one of the things that I would say is in requesting the additional meeting with staff or the additional information with staff and going through that, one of the things that, you know, obviously we didn't want to put the city in a situation where they were going to be dire straits. Coming out of that meeting, we felt better knowing that the sewer treatment plant is currently operating at 59% of capacity. So, you know, we don't need, you know, $10 million tomorrow. There's things that, you know, there's capacity in the systems to allow for the implementation. And so that's why we felt comfortable coming back and saying, you know, look, we're not going to pick apart their CIP. We're not going to pick apart the methodology. We'll support the numbers as long as we have some time to work towards that. So I appreciate the comments that are made. We do, you know, we did feel like we had an agreement in earnest, and I do appreciate the additional time for us to just make sure that we could get everybody on the same page, and I believe we're there now.
Thank you. Committee?
One more, if I may. David, put this to bed in my brain one more, I guess, once more. If we extend this or leave this per the original recommendation, and I'm trying to reconcile this with the recommendation in the staff report to go to 3 years, is there a problem in those utility fund budgets?
I don't want to say a word problem, but what I do want to say is that, you know, the idea of connection charges, they go to fund capital projects. And this is an agenda item that we have here for just a point of clarification, but it'll go to fund capital projects. So we do have rates. The rates were phased in over 5 years. We have significant needs at the treatment plant, collection, treatment, reuse of the entire system. So what connection fees pay for, they're not for the future development, the future, the impact fees. They're to take care of what we have now. So somebody's going to pay for those. And, the idea that we'll do a five-year phase-in with connection fees years ago, in fact, I think I even heard Nick Providente saying that years ago, connection fees were in the neighborhood of roughly $1 million. Prior to 2008, I saw them anywhere between $300,000 to $500,000 a year. So what that is that's revenue that's you know, we're not getting in. So who's going to pay for that? And it's going to be the ratepayers who will pay for that.
Okay.
Did that answer your question?
Okay. Do I hear a motion from anybody to go back to board and recommend that our original...
Your microphone, Madam Chair, your mic.
Thank you. So do I hear a motion from anybody that to go back to the board and say that our original recommendation is we once again submit that and that that's what we support? Do you want to keep the same start date? Do you want to do something different?
Well, I'll give this a whirl. Sticking with the original 5 years, hearing what the builders are saying, but in a bow to try to take some of the burden off of the existing ratepayers, I'm going to move that we start the 5-year implementation July 1 of this year, with the 20% coming July 1. That's still a 5-year roll-in period. But it's taking 1 year off that full implementation.
Do you mean tomorrow?
Yeah.
So I think that
would cause a problem for us because...
So the immediate option was not an option either.
Right, right.
Okay.
Because we will take this, your recommendation, to the Board of Supervisors. And so we need to put a date there that would follow after when we get to them. So it needs to be out in the future a little bit.
So let's say January 1?
Yeah, that would be plenty of time.
Is that a motion?
Yes.
All right. Do I hear a second?
I'll second that motion.
Mike Spell seconds the motion. Discussion?
Quite a clarification. Is that on item number 8? I know...
Actually, we are. For the record, we need to know what the motion pertains to.
Yes.
That would be item 6 and 8.
And item 7
has been taken off the table.
Taken off the table.
There hasn't been a motion to take that off the table. Perhaps you should just procedurally take 7 completely off the table with a motion, a second, and a vote, and then concentrate on 6 and 8.
Thank you. All right. Do I hear a motion to take item 7 off the table?
Well, so move to table item 7.
Okay. I'll second that. And that's seconded by Bruce Scott. All in favor say aye.
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 No opposed. It's unanimous. All right. Now on items 6 and 8, which we can combine into one motion. Okay, we have a motion on the table from Mr. Bennett. We had a second.
Well, Madam Chair, if I may, I think it might make life easier for staff, and then it would give the builders an opportunity for public comment when we get to 8. I would like to make a motion that I move to recommend to the Board of Supervisors for the water utility customers that connect to an 1.5 meter or larger to be charged a connection fee of $6,219 per maximum day gallon per minute use, and that sets that rate, which we haven't done yet.
Okay, did you hear that, Kathy?
Yes.
Did you get that? All right, is there a second to that motion?
I'll second the motion, I guess, and ask the question, do you want to include sewer in that motion as well?
Yeah, sorry, Bruce, I was thinking we could do it under 2, but yeah. And include the sewer utility connection charge of $4,493 per sewer equivalent residential customer.
I'll second.
All right, discussion? Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
It's unanimous.
Okay. Let's move on to item 8, then.
I'm sorry, did you want to say something?
No.
Turn off your microphone.
Okay. Any parting comments on that motion? Any public comment? Okay. All right. So, and that took, do you have any questions as far as item 8 is concerned? Which was the phase-in?
I don't. I just, was there a formal vote on it?
No.
No.
Okay. Sorry. Thank you.
Okay. I just didn't know whether or not you had any comments before we, all right. Okay. Now, could I have a motion regarding item 8?
Madam Chair, if I may, I'm going to try this again. I move to recommend to the Board of Supervisors an implementation start date of January 1st, 2016 for both water and sewer for a 5-year phase-in period.
Is there a second?
I second that.
Mike Spell seconded. Discussion. Public comment?
Based on the conversation that took place earlier about how the agenda was formatted, would that, do you want to, is that specific to commercial or is it inclusive of?
That is specific to commercial. That's not to include residential.
I understand your concern, Madam Chair. I think staff's concern is going to be that meters are not, or connection fees aren't separated by commercial versus residential. They're done by meter size. And meter sizes are not specific to residential. It just so happens that smaller meters are residential meters.
Well, I have a problem with that. I think there are a lot of projects that are in the pipeline, and while I think you can show that by a statement from the bank and so forth, I think that's going to cause a problem for people that have gone to the bank, have put pencil to paper, budgeted things out, and are all set for a start of July of next year. And now to suddenly be told that it's January, I think could present some real problems, as certainly in the residential. I just think it's a bit disingenuous on our part. That's all. We presented this to the Board of Supervisors for residential. They were fine with that, and that was with the start date of July 2016. Now I hesitate to go back to the board and say, well, we've changed the residential too. And that's why I didn't want residential on this agenda at all, because the board was happy with the with what we had given them before. Is there any further discussion on that?
Madam Chair.
Bruce?
If I could please ask for additional clarification from David. What's the basis for our original recommendation at the last meeting was for a 5-year phase-in. What's the background of why 3-year is now being proposed by staff?
Again, this was just a point of clarification. The 3-year proposal was just the initial recommendation that we had made as a recommendation to the Utility Financial Oversight Committee. And really what it was based on was that, one, the need for revenue, and then, two, is that when we do our connection charges are based on a 5-year CIP plan. So by starting, you know, next July and then phasing it over 5 years, we even go beyond that 5-year phase-in plan. But, I mean, this really isn't, this, it just goes back to our original recommendation. So all we were trying to do was get clarification on this.
When we presented this to this committee the first time, we gave options of put it into effect immediately, put it into effect in 3 years, over 3 years, put it into effect over 5 years. And our recommendation was to do the 3-year plan. So when the selection was made 5 years and that went to the Board of Supervisors and we were told to come back and revisit it for the larger size commercial and industrial, we're presenting that same information to you today. Should we adopt it immediately? Should we do it in 3 years or should we do it in 5 years? So
If you'll recall, at our past meetings, we were concerned about projects that were just getting off the ground, and we didn't want to see them be hurt by this, which is why we delayed the hookup fees until July of next year. And I have no idea what commercial things may be in the pipeline. I knew what the residential were at the time. But again, I don't want to hurt something that is in the planning stages. Now, I know that once a developer or builder goes to the bank and has penciled it out and gets a loan, as far as I'm concerned, that's in the pipeline. And then to suddenly change the amount on him, I think is a bit unfair, is my concern. So unless we said there would be some exception for all of those who have plans at a certain point in time, which gets to be a problem, I think, for staff in asking people to bring paperwork and prove that they were already in the pipeline and so forth. Now, I'm concerned especially about the residential and moving that to January.
Yeah, I understand your concern, Madam Chair. I guess from my perspective, what I'm seeing is you would move the residential 5/8 connection up by $600 6 months sooner. And so you basically start the progression, you know, in January of 2016 instead of June. So you're right. You would have some impact on residential. In my mind, given the $454 current rate, going up the $600 to $1051 6 months earlier is certainly a hit, but I think it does provide a six-month window, and frankly, people can buy their connection fees in that window and reserve that connection fee. So in my mind, I'm comfortable with implementation in January.
Mr. Spell?
If you implemented January 1st, would you do the increase next January, or would you go July 1st to get back on the fiscal year?
No, they would be done in January, and I guess, and I'm glad this conversation is going on, because if we do separate commercial, or what we're calling commercial, which is an inch and a half meter and larger, it will get complicated when we need to go and write the code, and then they have different implementation dates based on the same table. So just be aware of that.
Yeah, if we're going to have commercial going January and residential July, that's going to be a problem for you.
Any public comment?
Madam Chair, Mark Turner for the record. Bruce, you alluded to the ability to purchase water and sewer connection fees in advance. I'm not sure what the rules of engagement are when it comes to that sort of thing. Is there someone that can answer the question whether that's actually something that can be done? And if it can be done, what are the requirements for doing something along those lines? Thank you.
Staff?
Yeah, I guess I don't have an answer to that. I don't know. I'm not sure how we would.
You know, my reference was intended to be someone in the planning stages. For example, if I want to build a house, to purchase the purchase the water and sewer connections as part of the process of planning and implementation, and potentially prior to the home construction. I wasn't thinking in terms of buying 20 units without a subdivision map or without the lots being created, but more on an individual lot or on a basis where a subdivision was moving forward and the lots had been created, where potentially you could purchase the connections for that lot as part of a preliminary planning or preliminary development process. And I don't know if that's I think in other jurisdictions, I think you can do that. I don't know that that's, you know, I wasn't talking about a wholesale purchase of a lot of connections unless it was a subdivision that had already been platted. But I don't know what the city's policies are.
Okay, the way it works in Carson City is you pay for that connection fee when you get your building permit. That's when it's put into place. So yes, you could move up your building permit, but then you still have a time frame as to when you have to, you know, complete your project, and you'd have to fall within that. So we don't have a mechanism in place where you could come and do your connection fees and then come back in a couple of years and do your building permit currently.
I guess in my mind, with a $500 difference over 6 months, I would prefer to see us implementing the connection fee sooner so that we could begin to develop some of the capital, reserves, if you will, that the five-year implementation sort of spreads out anyway. So I'm still comfortable with the January implementation personally.
Aaron or Mark or somebody out there, are there any projects you can think of that would be hurt by something like this?
Madam Chair, Mark Turner again for the record. We have a couple of projects that are in the planning stages right now. I would say that this is an unexpected curveball for us. And for me to answer the question whether or not I can proceed right now based on these changes, I can't say that right now. But we're going to have to take a look at it. And, we had made plans, and Mr. Bennett's in the design business. He knows very well how long it takes to get things designed, and especially nowadays when there's a lot of projects coming into engineering firms very quickly. They may not be staffed adequately to pump them out as quickly as they're coming in. Nobody is for any portion of the development business right now. I don't know that we can get our projects turned around and have them shovel ready and permit ready in time for the change. So that's a concern to us, and we have two sizable projects that fall into that category. So thank you.
Thank you. Aaron.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Aaron West, and not to belabor the point, but I think we just wanted to, again, articulate that the idea is, you know, we don't want to put the city in a bad situation. Obviously, we can't have failing infrastructure. It doesn't do the development community any good. The idea that the current sewer treatment plant is operating at 59% capacity, and I think it's a little disingenuous to say that those expenses we passed on to the ratepayer. You guys went through the process of establishing the rate increases. At that time, you took into account the capital needs, you took into the operational expenses, and what you were going to set aside for reserves. I think it kind of goes into the next conversation in item 10 or whatever that is about what that looks like. But these funds are the idea is that you're creating a revenue stream. You're not going to take $1,000 from that house and go buy a fitting. You're creating a revenue stream that you're then going to go sell bonds to do a capital improvement. And as long as the bank can see that there is a system in place there for paying those bonds, then that's what we're trying to get to. So I appreciate consideration.
Any other public comment? Mr. Miles.
Yeah, I'll just piggyback a little bit on Mr. Turner, so Bill Miles for the record. And philosophically, I mean, Carson City has done a good job with the water and the sewer. I don't think a six-month window of fees is going to make a huge amount of difference based on the time it takes to get a project shovel ready and working. So I would just ask you to go back to the original recommendation to the board that you would follow this commercial recommendation with the recommendation that you previously made, because those dollars in the six-month time period, I just are not going to be huge. Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion on the table, and we have a second, correct? So, yes.
If I could just add an observation, I can truly see both sides of, if it's at this committee, it's a gray area. It would be nice to have as much revenue for the system as possible, as quickly as possible. That would have an adverse impact on the development community, the community that is getting projects ready. We discussed it at length last meeting and decided a July 1st, 2016 implementation date. And for the sake of consistency, so that people know what the committee says they're going to carry through on, I think the July 1st, 2016 is the date that we should stay with.
Bruce?
Yeah, just at the last meeting, it was my impression that we had a consensus with the builders. And for whatever reason, that recommendation apparently did not sit well, or there was a change in the attitude or something, and it was not acted on by the board and was sent back to us. So here we are several months later. I don't really want to get in a position of sending the board something where we're either creating a situation where the builders are going to end up going back to the board and complaining about a six-month window that is not consistent with the previous recommendation we made that apparently was not at that time agreeable to the builders, even though we thought it was when we had our meeting and made our motion. And I don't think that kind of back and forth does much good for anybody. So, and I also would like to point out, I don't believe that the connection fees are going to be used to support bonding. I don't think that that's the basis for bonding for improvements. But I guess I'm concerned that we've had mixed signals from the builders. We've tried to accommodate the need, and it's a bit frustrating to know where things are and to feel like our role as a recommendation body to the board is either not working or is not effective from the standpoint of getting the Board of Supervisors the opportunity to hear in a public meeting like this and make a recommendation that hopefully can move forward with consensus. I don't want to see us going forward with something that continues to be bouncing back and forth with the board or with the staff. And so I'm not unwilling to, you know, if the consensus of this group is to go forward with the same motion, in the interest of moving forward and getting something going and done, I'd rather do that than fight over 6 months. I don't honestly think 6 months is a big deal one way or the other. It just sends a message that we're trying to implement. You know, this committee made a recommendation a year ago for the board to consider this. So I would like to move forward in a way that we had at least some understanding or assurance that we in this room are more or less together when we walk out. That would be my goal.
Mr. Spell.
Yes. As far as the motion that was made, I second that with under the understanding that this implementation would be for residential as well because of the 5/8 inch. If we're going to keep residential 5/8 inch on a July 1, and I could not support two different implementation dates. It becomes a financial nightmare, a budgeting nightmare. So I would, if that's the case, I would have to probably withdraw my second on that motion.
Mr. Bennett, was that the case?
My intent was certainly not to make life harder on staff and split them up like that. Having said that, Bruce, I heard what you said, and thank you. That was very well said. I'm struggling with, we have a room full of the development community who has asked for a prolonged implementation, which I think we provided. As a ratepayer of this community, I struggle with, there are capital improvements that are needed in the system, and until those coffers are full from the full implementation of the fee, the connection fee, the ratepayers are bearing that responsibility right now. Honestly, when we were talking about this 3 months ago, you know, the number that stuck in my head was 5 years. And after the dust settles and we go through the math and we're talking about 6 years, you know, we're really stretching this out a little bit. So that's why I made the motion I made. It was not to make life more difficult for staff. It was not to make life more difficult for the builders or throw you a curveball. It was simply trying to balance all. And I think, honestly, when you talk about a rate right now, a fee, I keep saying rate, sorry, Aaron, a fee right now of $454 to connect, that is 90% less, 95% less than our nearest competitor. And we're talking about raising that up $600. I recognize that that's a cost, but you know, they're artificially low to start with. And again, they're getting, somebody's subsidizing it. And right now, as a ratepayer in this community, I'm subsidizing it.
As I recall, we went with the 5 years as an equity argument, because that's what the ratepayers are looking at, is the 5 years. But yes, we certainly intended for it to start 5 years, I mean, which is why we made the $600 and, you know, dollar start amount. So we didn't expect it to stretch out 6 years. We expected that it would actually be 5 years. Mr. Bennett, are you saying you want to withdraw your motion or change it?
Madam Chair, I threw out the hot potato, so I'm going to go to the mat on it. I'm going to leave my motion as is, and if Mike to my right here would like to withdraw, then that's up to him and the motion dies. And if it dies on the floor for lack of votes, then it dies for that too.
Okay, and have you withdrawn your second, Mr.?
I withdraw it if we're going to not include, as I read it there, that includes residential, everybody, both on sewer and water. If we're going to exclude residential from the January 1st implementation date, then I would withdraw, because then we're going to have a July 1, 2016 implementation for residential hookup for water and sewer. And 6 months earlier than that, we'll have the commercial. And that's the reason I would withdraw my second.
And you intended to include residential the same as commercial. Is that correct?
Well, yes. I intended to make it a connection across the board, which does not differentiate between residential or commercial. It is meter size.
All right, Kathy, let's do a roll call on this, please. Wait a minute, Mr. Scott wants to say something.
I'd like to just clarify the motion, if we could.
I can read it back, if you'd like.
Thank you. Would you please, Kathy?
Vice Chairperson Bennett moved to recommend to the Board of Supervisors an implementation start date of January 1st, 2016 for both water and sewer for a 5-year phase-in period.
Did everybody hear that?
On the discussion then, Mike, your concern of on the second was satisfied because it includes both at the same time. Okay.
Yes, could we do a roll call, please, Kathy?
Member Bowling?
No.
Member Scott?
No.
Member Spell?
Yes.
Vice Chair Bennett?
Yes.
And Chair Engelman?
No.
Motion fails 3-2.
Okay, motion fails. Do I hear another motion?
I'll try it as a repeat of what we did at our last meeting, and that would be to move that the adjustments be made on a five-year basis beginning July 1, 2016, as outlined in the staff's recommendation for both water and sewer, residential and commercial.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Mr. Bowling seconded, and but that still includes the higher amount start. This higher starting amount that you made on your previous motion, the 600. Right. Okay. Any further discussion?
Madam Chair, we need clarification about the higher amounts starting.
Kathy, would you read the first motion that was made by Mr. Bennett on the previous item?
Item number 6.
We had a motion on, excuse me.
I'm sorry.
My motion.
On item 7.
Well, my motion on item 8 failed.
Right.
Motion and a second, the vote
motion
failed.
Before then that passed.
Well, that was item 6, so that was.
Right, item 6, right. The motion on item 6.
The motion for item 6, Vice Chair. Bennett moved staff's recommended motion for the water utility. Member Scott seconded that motion. Vice Chair Bennett modified his motion to include the staff's recommended motion for the sewer utility as well. Member Scott continued his second, and that motion carried unanimously.
Okay, I misunderstood something. Okay, thank you. All right. So we have a motion and a second on the table. Discussion? Public comment?
Madam Chair, I'd just like to just make one quick closing comment to Mr. Scott. And you may kind of look at what took place with the builders as dithering, but upon further discussion, you know, we realize that this is a major decision that's going to impact things for a long time. And we had some discussion. We felt as if there were some things that needed to be clarified. The utilities department was gracious enough to come over to Vaughan, and we sat down and we were able to get a much greater understanding of things that I don't think that were clearly understood before. I mean, I think everybody could agree that the stuff that's coming from FCS is not necessarily easily digested by everybody who walks in off the street. It does take some expertise and some explanation. So rather than take this decision lightly, and we don't mean to waste the committee's time, we felt that it did warrant further consideration. If it's going to be something we're going to live with for the next 5 to 6 years, I think sometimes that things get pushed along too quickly, and then 2 years or 3 years down the line, we wish we'd have talked about it a little bit more, but I think we're very satisfied with where things are going right now. So thank you.
Any other comment? Any other discussion? If not, let's do a roll call again. Kathy, please.
Member Bowling?
Yes.
Member Scott?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Vice Chair Bennett?
Yes.
Chair Engelman?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
All right. Thank you. Let's go on to item 9. The board specifically asked us to take a look at where is this money going from the hookup fees. And while we had touched on it in our previous meeting, it wasn't agendized, and so we talked briefly about a reserve, and that was it. So According to staff, this can only be used for capital projects, and you were going to present us with some sort of documentation that that's the case?
I believe the discussion, the way I recall it, was there was a goal that that connection fees not be used for operation, the cost of operations in these two funds. And so we wanted to bring it back to you and get a recommendation that these funds would be put into account to only pay for capital for both water and sewer. And so that's what we're asking for today.
You had told me there was something that requires that.
There was some discussion about other. You want to take that?
Karen Johnson, FCS Group, for the record. There isn't a requirement that you can't use connection charge fee revenues to pay your debt service. There is a requirement that it can't pay your operating and maintenance expenditures. So what the recommendation is that capital be limited to paying capital projects in lieu of debt service and using rates to pay for the debt service. So that's really the clarifying point. They can't be used for operations and maintenance expense. So that's probably the one that's fairly clear. They can be used for debt service payments, though. And where the recommendation came out was originally our recommendation is that you not use them for that purposes, and that's to safeguard for revenue shortfalls. If growth doesn't occur as planned, you're already obligated to pay for your debt service, and so that should be from ongoing rates.
All right. So your recommendation is that it go into reserve to be used for capital equipment. Is that correct? Is that a reserve that can be walled off to ensure that it is not used for anything other than what it's intended?
Our recommend, David, for the record, our recommendation is that it's used for capital, but we have other funds that are used for capital, and this is actually a relatively small amount. I mean, we can create another financial policy that is specific to connection charges, but because this is such a small amount, our recommendation would be that that's what this is, purpose of this is for, is that we're committing to using this for just capital accounts. So the revenues are tracked independently. We can report them independently. But if we try and create a specific reserve account for these, then it's a relatively small amount. So we wouldn't recommend that.
Is there a discussion from the committee?
I will add, since we cannot use them to service or to pay for O&M, that there's not much discussion that needs to be had there. I will add, though, that I'm aware of other jurisdictions in the area that have used connection charges to fund debt payments. And when the crash happened, that was a huge problem for them. So I would be in favor of restricting it to capital projects only.
Okay. Any public comment on this issue?
Very briefly, Madam Chair, for the record, Aaron West, we just wanted to thank staff for meeting with us and helping to clarify the structure within the enterprise funds. We feel very comfortable that, again, we agree with the conversation to date that these funds should be for capital improvements and very specific to the enterprise fund for which they were generated, as our friends to the north got creative a couple times.
Thank you. Committee, Ms.
Yeah, I think maybe it's an extension, but in my mind, part of our function is to help advise our Board of Supervisors with regard to utility finance and be the, I guess, the lightning rod for trying to make sure we don't have reserves that end up being dissipated over time, as has happened in the past. And so I would agree with Mike Bennett's comment that I'd like to see these further restricted and not be utilized for debt service in terms of our connection fees.
Okay, so do I hear a motion?
Madam Chair, I move to recommend to the Board of Supervisors that connection charge fees be limited to funding capital projects.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Rowland seconds. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. No opposed. It's unanimous. Okay.
item 10? All right. So let me ask you about this inflationary index. This is different than, say, the inflation that is given to recipients of Social Security.
Madam Chairman, if you feel it's appropriate, maybe FCS can just give a brief overview about what this is we're talking about and what it does, and then we'll talk about specific questions.
All right.
Okay.
Karen Johnson, for the record. So one of the practices that's done in the industry on connection charges is once you've established your charge, then you may not get back to it until you do your next planning process, which may be 6 or so years down the road. So what the practice has been is once you've established your charge, that you would index it to the construction cost index for the in-between years, so you're keeping pace essentially with your construction cost inflation. So when you go to do your next update, say in 6 years from now, you wouldn't be further behind. So that's conceptually the idea. And so it's not associated with any other type of program other than it's been a practice where you index to kind of keep up with construction cost inflation in between your major connection charge updates. Generally, when you do an immediate implementation of a connection charge, that type of a thing would take place the very next year. Since there's a phase-in strategy recommended, we'd get to that first phase-in strategy where you're at the full charge and then start the process from that point. Again, and that would be in place up until the time you did your next major connection charge review and potentially adjusted the rates at that time.
All right, and is the engineering inflation different than regular inflation?
It's based on the construction cost index, so yes, it's different. Yes.
Okay, that's what I need to clarify.
Yes.
All right. Public comment? It's so nice to see you, Mr. West.
Madam Chair, for the record, Aaron West. I think our only comment would be that we've experienced situations where indexes don't necessarily follow what's going on within the economy, and even based on our conversations with staff, we came up with scenarios whereby because the connection fee is calculated based on the existing capacity and the projected demand for capacity based on that 5-year CIP, and then the projected growth, which in the current CIP is 20% over the next 5 years, those are all very real variables that, you know, I think we have the opportunity to come back and evaluate, especially in light of the fact that technically this wouldn't even kick in until, you know, after full implementation of the fee. Maybe this isn't something that we necessarily have to make a decision on tonight, or we could come back to. But I think the variables in determining the connection fee are very real, and I think it's something that even if we were to take a 3-year snapshot or revisit that every 3 years based on where they're at in the CIP and where we're at in growth, I think it would be much more an accurate reflection of where we're at.
Excuse me. Committee, any comments? Ruth?
Yeah, if I understand correctly, this would begin based on the engineering news record construction cost index after the implementation is complete. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Seeing the difficulty that boards have in tinkering with rates, I'm really inclined to give our Board of Supervisors a recommendation that we index after that period of time, as recommended by staff, perhaps with a 3% limitation, in order for the Board to be able to consider whether they would like to put this into a process where we don't complete the implementation of the connection fees and then sit on our hands for 5 years while construction costs go up. We've done that with rates, and we have to go up 10% a year for 5 years in a row or something in that neighborhood. And frankly, I'd like to give our Board of Supervisors a recommendation that they do this and index so that a small incremental rate would be potentially there. It can always be reviewed at that time, but frankly, I'd rather give them that opportunity at this point with our recommendation than just say, well, that's a long ways away and let's not worry about it today. We know we're going to have inflation. We know it's been very modest, and I'd like to see us give the board that, at least that opportunity with our recommendation.
Kathy, I would like everything that Bruce just said to be put into the minutes, please, for the record.
Sure.
Okay, thank you. May I consider that a motion?
Feel free, Madam Chairman.
Is there a second?
Well, I would like a little clarification, I guess. Is this nationwide cost index? I mean, I'm in favor, as Bruce is, with the index, but frankly, I don't recall seeing increases of 4% and 3% in this set 8, 9, and 10 time frame. It's certainly not in this area anyways. I mean, we were going down as far as construction costs were going in my recollection.
So the David, for the record, the construction cost index is based on the 20 large cities index. And there is some variation between this and the CPI, but it's based on the 20 large cities, and it's very specific to labor and construction type activity and material. So it's a much better reflection, specifically if you're going to index something, to these kind of connection charges and fees than it would be, say, like an inflationary number. It's a component of it, but it's very specific to the construction industry.
I agree with you there. I was just curious if this cost index can look more at a regional level, or is it just looking at a national level?
This index specific is looking at a national level.
It's like Buy American, you know. That's way more than 3%.
You don't have a regional number on this? All right. So we have a motion, so to speak, with a 3% maximum on it, put forth by Mr. Scott. Do you need clarification on that, Kathy?
It's always easier if someone can actually put forth a motion rather than me trying to adapt their comments.
All right. Bruce?
I would recommend to the Board of Supervisors that after the connection fees are fully implemented, they be adjusted annually based on the Engineering News Record Construction Cost Index at an annual amount not to be greater than 3%.
Second.
Right, Mr. Bowling, second. Public comment?
For the record, Aaron West, I would just like to say that we are very supportive of the motion. Actually, we shared some of the concerns that were brought up in terms of the variation in that. So with the 3% cap, we're very supportive of the motion. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
No opposed. It's unanimous. Okay, now we have to have public comment for the end of the meeting. Is there any public comment on any subject other than what we've discussed tonight? Any public comment at all? Okay, there being no public comment, there being no further business, do I hear a motion to adjourn? Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Meeting's adjourned.